Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm at Innovation Forum's Sustainable Landscapes Conference in London, and I'm with Sophie Hickman from ProForest, Maria Levier-Pio from Cargo, and Natasha Schwartzbach from PepsiCo. And we've been talking about a specific case study in Indonesia around developing a landscape approach in the palm oil sector. So, Sophie, why don't you start us off by giving a quick introduction into how you got involved in working in Indonesia with PepsiCo and with Cargo.
So, a bit of background, we work with dozens of companies in the supply chain of different agricultural commodities, and particularly in oil palm. So we work with a lot of different actors at different stages of the supply chain of palm oil. And we've been working with a lot of companies to help them implement their commitments on no deforestation, no exploitation, no peat, and how that gets tracked back and driven back through the supply chain to the production areas on the ground. And we're very aware that many of the issues around implementing these commitments can't be dealt with through a single supply chain, through a single mill. And the issues are shared by many producers, many mills, many supply chains. So engaging with mills through the supply chain is a necessary part of making sure that this change, that deforestation is reduced, that exploitation is removed from supply chains, that's a necessary part of it to work through the supply chain, but it's not enough to affect change and have huge impact across a landscape. So we're looking at how we can involve actors at different stages of supply chains or agricultural commodities in landscape approaches, and how that can, in practice, you know, what does that mean on the ground, and how can we make sure that we have this kind of bigger impact. So we're looking at how to get a collaborative engagement across the landscape with a number of companies. In this particular case, we're involved with a group of seven companies and with our partners Diameter as well, and working through and with the local district government and local NGOs as part of the collaboration that we need to build. And we're at a very initial stage of this at the moment.
Sure. Yes, it is all very new. Can you just give a very quick definition of when a landscape approach is a landscape approach and when a jurisdictional approach is a jurisdictional approach? And this is the difference between the two.
Okay, so a landscape approach we would see as being something which is a geographical land area, an approach that's looking at affecting change and involving stakeholders and working at scale in a geographical area. That might be defined by environmental or ecological boundaries. We would say a jurisdictional approach has that same kind of scale to it, but it's defined along political, subnational, jurisdictional boundaries, and very much focusing on the involvement of government within that as a key player, but also all the other stakeholders.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Marie, why don't you introduce the specific program that we've just been talking about and insight into why Cargill's got involved?
So we are a coalition of seven companies, as Sophie explained, more specifically Unilever, PepsiCo, Danone, Nestlé, Musimasga, and Cargill are involved in a landscape approach with the support of our implementation partner, Core, Demeter, and ProForest in the SIAC landscape. What we aim to do there is to develop a verified sustainable production area, focusing on developing solutions at scales to address common environmental and social issues, to pilot multi-stakeholder approach, to support and empower the local organization, building capacity, and finally to develop solutions to improve farmer livelihoods. So we decided to work in the SIAC and Pelalawan landscapes. These are two regions that are close by from the Dumai port, which is a very important port in Indonesia and where we are sourcing a big quantity of oil from. 20% of the meal of the Rio region are actually located in these two landscapes, and many of these meals are considered high priority meals because they are located in high risk areas that might be peatland, protected forests that have been deforested. There are also a lot of independent smallholders, and there are also a lot of health and safety issues, and more specifically, labor issues that need to be addressed. So we have an approach in three phases. The first phase in which we are at the moment, and that is started over the summer and will last until April 2019, consists of designing this intervention. So mapping the supply base, having a better understanding of the supply base, who are these stakeholders on the ground, what are the various initiatives, and develop together an agreement on what are going to be the goals and the objectives of this project and how are we going to go about it. And I think it's good to mention that actually we do not want to start from scratch. We want to build on existing initiatives that are in the neighborhoods in the region. So to mention, we have like the SIAC Green District Initiative, the LTKL platform, the FOXB UNDP ISPO platform. There are a lot of private sector initiative and donor funded programs by WWF, by Packard Foundation, UNDP in the Teso Nilo Park.
Just to clarify, we're talking about an area that's in the northern Indonesian island of Sumatra, aren't we?
Yeah, good point. And so the SIAC and Pelalawan district are actually located in the center of Sumatra, Indonesia, in the Rio province.
Turning to you, Natasha, how does the work that Cargill's instigated, working partners including ProForest, how does that fit in with your own strategy and aims around your palm oil supply?
For PepsiCo, we take a very holistic, inclusive and collaborative approach to sustainable palm oil. We do have public commitments to source 100% RSPO certified by 2020, but we also have a global policy around our NDPE. And what we're looking to do is deliver our strategy for sustainable palm oil, which is around four pillars. And that involves transparency and engagement with stakeholders, how we actively participate with our suppliers. For us, we need to better understand the concerns and issues and opportunities in our supply base. And it's also around positive impact programs. So we are investing in landscape initiatives that support communities, development, conservation, and smallholder inclusion. For us, we source from three countries, Mexico, Malaysia, and Indonesia. If we look at our global supply, we source 40% from North Sumatra and Riau, so it's a very important area for us. But the program, one of the key components is that it involves a broad range of stakeholders, and we recognise that these systemic issues will require the entire value chain to come together and to be dedicated to affect change.
Our session demonstrated that there are these problems that are in place, and it's great that companies are accepting that and say, well, we're going to want to work to make things better. Sophie, turning back to you, what sort of restoration is going to be involved in this project down the line? I mean, that's something that has been front of mind at the moment, given all the recent reports we've had around what's required to stay at 1.5 degrees centigrade warming and everything else. So how do you want to do, we're obviously moving from mapping what the problems are, dealing with the problem mills, looking at where there's palm oil being grown on peat, trying to solve that problem. But then when are we going to move on to restoration of peatlands, restoration of forests, do you think?
I think that very much depends on what the interventions are that are decided on by the group and by the wider stakeholder group in SIAC and Pelalawan. I think restoration may be part of the mix of interventions, but there's going to be a whole lot of different options looking all the way from supporting smallholders with better agricultural practices and different, you know, livelihood options, through to protection in national park areas, that there are lots of different possibilities there. At the moment, we're kind of thinking about costing these things out and looking at kind of what those options are. And restoration is likely to be one of those options for certain.
Sure.
I'm not going to commit area.
No, but I think the whole thing demonstrates the kind of challenge and the complexity that so many businesses have in their supply chains. And it also demonstrates that companies such as Cargill and PepsiCo are now clearly wanting to engage and deal with these issues. Is that something you're finding with other projects you're involved in?
Absolutely. Yes, I think we're finding more and more companies coming to us from different parts of the supply chain, asking how they can be involved in landscape approaches, asking what they can do, asking where they can work, and how to collaborate with other companies. And I think that's one of the things we're seeing a lot of, is different companies in supply chains very interested in collaborating with each other, as well as being involved in public-private collaboration.
Great. Well, Sophie, Maria, Natasha, thanks very much for presenting a fascinating case study and for your support of the event.
Thank you. Thank you very much.